Hello, hello, and welcome to the RadioKids.com podcast. I'm so glad you can join. My name is Isaiah Ellis. Today's podcast is definitely a podcast that you're going to want to stick around to the end. But before I go into the details of that, I wanted to tell you a little bit about what we got going on in the Ambassador team. We have just closed our books for the year and have finalized our 2024 team. And let me tell you, just like last year, we have an amazing team. And us ambassadors are really having to step up and take a turn at the driver's seat, doing posts and setting up podcasts, and much, much more. But it's what's going to help us grow and be better and stronger as we continue to chase our dreams all throughout life. This opportunity is one you don't see much, but I would highly recommend for the 2025 season. Please go over to RadioKids.com and check out everything we got going on over there, from scholarship opportunities to Radio Kids merch and all in between. Now, let's talk about our guest. Today's podcast guest is Miss Haley Knutson. Our last podcast was actually with her dad. If you did not hear that one, I would highly recommend you check it out. But Haley has carved a way of success. She shares how it's not the easiest thing to do. From acting to helping run podcasts to being in movies, singing, a sixth-generation cowgirl, she does it all. But being younger, doing all that, is not the easiest thing, but she has not let it face her. She goes into the battles of it and how she handles it. Today's ambassador is Kaylin Pinkard from Florida. This is her first time doing podcasts on the team, but she did an amazing job stepping out of her comfort zone to reach out and get everything ready for this podcast. Now, let's listen to a podcast with Kaylin Pinkard and Haley Knutson.
Welcome to the RodeoKids.com podcast, where we empower youth to be their best selves through the values and traditions of the rodeo and Western lifestyle.
My name's Kaylin Pinkard, and we're with the Rodeo Kids podcast. We're just excited that you're here with us and that you were able to join us today. If you want, we can go ahead and get started. We just had a few questions. The first one, it was like, basically, what do you do and like, what is a big part of your day-to-day life?
Okay, perfect. So a big part of my day-to-day life. So first off, I'm an actor. I sing and I dance. I actually teach dance at a local studio here in town. I'm a sixth generation cowgirl and I'm a public speaker. And so I'm on the road with my dad a lot. He has his show and his podcast. And so I was actually the one that kind of helped him start it off, and I helped him edit his videos. And so a big part of my life day to day is, of course, taking care of the ranch, because I live on one. And of course, that takes a lot of work out here in Texas. But I help my dad with managing all of his different companies and just working on studying for my different acting things coming up.
That's awesome. How long have you been acting?
I've been acting since I've been about 5 and then dancing since I was 2. So it's something that I've always loved to do. It's been a long time.
Oh, yeah. How did you get into acting?
Well, like I said, whenever I was 2, I started dancing. So whenever I was an infant, like just born, well, the first place, of course, that my dad put me was on the saddle. And then, of course, like any other Western home, we listened to George Strait consistently. Noted whenever I was a little infant, I would bounce perfectly in time with the music. And I would always run around and put on little performances at the barn and things like that. And then my parents were like, we got to put this girl in some sort of dance class because she has way too much energy. So I started doing that. And it was my first, it was either my competition or recital that I participated in. I just kind of felt this almost spark, like this is something that I really want to do for the rest of my life. And so then I saw audition at our local theater here in our small town. And so I took that opportunity and I ran with it and I got cast in the first show I auditioned in whenever I was 5. And I just really fell in love with it. And I just decided that this is something early on that I wanted to do. And it's so funny because I'd be performing and I look out in the audience and I just see this row of my family and it's just cowboy hats. So I could see that they were all there supporting me, even though it's something kind of different than they typically would go to. But I have a really supportive family. So
that's awesome. What was like when you first started acting, like did you get like stage fright or like were you ever nervous performing in front of people?
I would get, I feel to a sense, you never really get used to it. I think honestly, I get more stage fright whenever I have to do the public speaking, just being myself. Because as an actor, I feel like you can kind of mask yourself with being a different character, as cliche as that sounds. Like if you mess up, it could be the character messing up. But if you go out there and you're public speaking, like what I do with my family a lot, it's you that messes up. And so it's kind of a new level of transparency. And I know my dad experienced that too whenever he first started getting out and sharing his testimony and speaking. Whenever he would go out in rodeo, he felt like all the attention was on the horse and it would take all the attention off of him. So then we both kind of had to overcome that within different ways. So I would say that yes, I still get a little ounce of stage fright here and there.
A question I had is, we run two businesses, our family does, and we have to talk to a lot of people. Whether you're doing any position inside the business, you're talking to people, whether it's on the phone or in person or helping somebody out, you're talking to a lot of people. I'm sure you saying you helping out with your dad's and his podcast and whatever, would you say that's helped you with being able to act in your
Yes, I'm so glad that it's so neat talking to other people that have family businesses or work in the industry because it's always so interesting to hear everybody's experience. But yes, I would have to say that that really helped me because my dad, he used to work in corporate America. And so whenever I was really, really little, I'm an only child, and so I was always sticking around one of them. And I would always go to business meetings with my dad. And so he was, a big corporate salesman. And so I learned lots of different sales techniques. And so as an actor, I went to all the acting classes and I learned different methods and things. But I always got along better with adults. Like I could shake an adult, look them in the eyes, and shake the hand with a firm Western handshake and feel perfectly confident. But going to school sometimes, I'd be like, oh, these people are my own age. This is kind of scary.
Yeah.
So I think that taking different elements of my acting and the different elements that I've learned within the business industry and kind of meshing them together has made me overall kind of a better business salesman in a way, like pitching myself for different ideas or auditioning, kind of getting that salesman and confidence. And then it also helps on stage or while filming a project because you kind of get the certain level of speaking clearly and talking. So both really work well together. And so it's really been beneficial getting to work with my dad on a lot of our things.
And things I've heard is personality sells. Whether you're doing anything, it's your personality that sells a lot. And that, I mean, just talking to you this couple of minutes, your personality is just like, it stands out. It's what sells to people.
Well, thank you. Yes, I'm a firm believer in that. I kind of think I always say, there's the typical Shakespeare quote, all the world's a stage. And so, to an extent, if you think about that, I mean, truthfully, every day you kind of are portraying a character. Like sometimes walking into a meeting, got to be a little bit more serious and kind of know my place and stand in the back. But other times, like if I kind of play into certain aspects, kind of that bubbly personality, it works and it sails. So, I think kind of figuring out which character I need to portray in my everyday life, it's really beneficial. Because if you walk into a sale barn and you start tap dancing everywhere, I don't really think that's the place for that. So yeah, that's a good point. I really think that finding that different personality that would sell in that area is really important.
That's like, I feel like that's pretty cool because like sometimes you feel like you're just awkward in a situation and you don't know how to act, but I think it's pretty cool how you can like incorporate all the different things you've done into that to you in those situations.
Thank you. Yeah, it's a lot going on up here. But it's really true. I think that also with acting, you have to study different not just the character, but also the psychology behind each character. So if you're playing a character that has a lot of confidence and is really bubbly, you kind of learn what are the characteristics that make you be perceived that way to your audience per se. Because if you show up like this, the audience isn't gonna believe you for a second. So kind of taking different elements of, okay, what would my character look like if I was super confident, if I knew that this was the place, like landing different brand partners like American Hat, Cinch, Justin, walking into those big sales meetings, it could be very intimidating. But then if you hold your shoulders back, eye contact, smile, and it's difficult sometimes being the youngest person in the room because I'm 19, and so I'll walk into these meetings, and while I am comfortable around adults, sometimes it's really kind of off-putting for it to be all 50-year-old men and women in these rooms, and I'm like, I am just out of high school. So kind of holding yourself to a certain stature of confidence, eye contact, it will make them respect you a lot more, because sometimes being the youngest in the room, they kind of have a preconceived idea of how they're going to treat you. So it's kind of proving them wrong and saying, you know, the youth can do it. Like, I know we get looked on sometimes, but we're out here, we're doing it. We're the next generation, and we're here to prove what we can do.
Amen, sister.
It shocks a lot of people because the generation that we're in now, it's a lot of people are shy. You don't see a lot of younger people going out. I don't like to say that, but you don't see it much. You don't see a lot of leadership
Exactly.
as much. And I know I hear these people back then, and there was a lot more where kids were out, more outgoing, and you don't see it as much. And when someone younger goes in to take a role that you would think an adult would or an older person would, it shocks them, and they have a different respect for you.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I do see that a lot. I'm a very observant person, and so it's something that I've kind of noticed. And I feel like a lot of it is some youth are kind of scared to take that leap and to take that next step just because, like I said, there is a certain intimidation factor. I mean, I've had adults tell me all sorts of things. They're like, okay, well, you don't know what you're doing. I mean, I've heard everything. I've honestly probably been bullied by more adults than I have kids in my life. And that's something that really isn't talked about a lot. And so, whenever I walk into these meetings and things, I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna stand my ground, as scary as it might be, because sometimes, you know, if especially so with my acting, you know, I'm managing a lot of things. So I do have a PR lady, business managers, things like that. But at the end of the day, it's like, okay, I need to call the shot of what I'm wanting to do here. And so sometimes it feels kind of scary to have to tell that to an adult because it could be perceived as disrespectful in a way. And it's like I come off in the most respectful nature, but sometimes they don't like that. They don't take it. So it's kind of difficult for youth, I've noticed, to try to figure out, okay, what's a way that I could tell an adult my opinion and what I'm wanting to say, but it not be perceived as disrespectful. So I'm really trying to get my foot out there and do what I can to show that, you know what? As negatively, I feel like as this generation is taken online and are talked about, there's a lot of change makers and leaders and strong people within this generation that are going to ultimately be the people in charge one day. And so we got to show that there are a lot of great people within this generation and we can go out and change the world. So we just need more
Yeah,
people to stand up like y'all.
yes, that's what Rodeo Kids is all about. And these guys are doing an awesome job. And I was just telling them, Kaylin's new to the team this year, and Isaiah was with us last year, but it's just been awesome. You know, we're in our first month, or we're just going into our second month, and like she went about it and set up all of this, the interview and everything, and Isaiah helped her. And like I have not been involved in it really at all, so
Love
I'm really
that.
proud of them for taking that leadership. But I'd like to hear you kind of expand. You know, when you mentioned bullied by adults, both Isaiah and Kaylin shook their heads like they knew what you were talking about. And we have a lot of adults, parents that listen to this and a lot of kids. So I'd just be interested in your words to explain. And Kaylin and Isaiah, you guys can certainly jump in on this too. Explain what you mean by that.
Well, it's a really difficult subject to kind of discuss at times, but I feel like there's always been an adult, whatever kind of stage I am in my life, there's always an adult trying to kind of pull back on those reins and like kind of almost humble me in a way, like, okay, no, you're not all that, whatever. I don't know. I've had adults within my school district that have I'm a big people pleaser. So it really bothers me to have somebody kind of talk negatively. And I feel like it's God kind of gearing me up and putting on some armor for in the future. Because obviously being an actor, you're the public eye a lot. So obviously you're going to get a lot of backlash. But within my school, you know, sometimes you just have that one teacher that likes to just pick on that one student. And sometimes that one student just doesn't know or that teacher doesn't realize how much that picking on that one student can really affect that person's life. Because us as youth, we do look up to the older generations. And so hearing that negative pushback sometimes will hurt, of course. I've had adult, I don't want to say jealousy because it sounds bad, but within my community theater, Whenever I would go out for certain roles and I'd do things and I'd work hard, go through the audition process, and I'd get a lead or supporting role, there would be adults that would go up to that, to our executive director and say, "She cheated, she doesn't deserve it." And then they would write stuff about me, post it on Facebook, say that the theater was biased and, oh, they should have chose my daughter. And within the dance industry, it's of course, I mean, y'all have probably heard of dance moms. I mean, it's just kind of like that at times. The Of course, the parents are going to advocate for their kids, but sometimes it gets taken to another extreme level, wherever they will go online, which is such a brutal source now, and post all of these just hate things. I mean, it really is insane. And I feel like the adults need to empower that youth. And I feel like a lot of the time they're tearing them down and speaking negatively about them. So do y'all have anything to say about that?
I agree. It's in general, I feel like, and I don't like to say this, but it's almost like youth are looked down to. When a youth tries to go into something that usually an adult role would do, when youth are standing out in an adult world, whether you're going into acting, you're going into dancing, you're trying to sell something, or you're growing in podcasts, and you're almost doing as good or better as an adult, it's like you're looked down to, or you're wanting to succeed, but it seems like sometimes you're in this like this dome because you're a child or you're still younger, that it's an adult thing. That's something you need to learn for, you need to grow for. When you're really wanting to grow now where you are, it's almost like you're looked down to and kind of held down, if that makes sense.
Yes, I completely agree with that. I think that's an amazing way to phrase that. And of course, yes, it's not all adults. Like, I always use my parents as an example. They are just such amazing people. And we have kids come out to the house, and sometimes they don't have that strong mother or father figure in their life. And they come out to the house and they just latch onto my parents. And I feel like my parents are serving as that parent role model for a lot of my friends, which I just love. I love that. And my dad, we have interns at the ranch a lot. I think he talked about that on his episode out here. So he tries to always advocate the youth. And like I was saying, he brought me into those board meetings. I'm in every single meeting for our movie, every meeting for his nonprofit. I helped found his nonprofit. I helped found his YouTube that it started off as a YouTube, now his show. So he likes to try to hold me to that respect. This is my business partner. Y'all need to listen to her. And even on some of our meetings, wherever it's, our team, and of course, it's not everybody. We have a great amount of people. On some projects, they will look and make eye contact with everybody in the room, but not look at me. So I understand what you're saying. Sometimes it's that adult that just doesn't see that child as anything past a child. So I agree with what you said.
I agree. I help run a lot of our offices in our business, and it's like you want to keep going and you want to grow, but it's like it people are shocked with what you can do and how you can grow. It's like what you're saying, you're a business partner. People don't expect someone that young, and so it's almost like you can feel the adults, like you kind of get that evil eye, if you know what I mean.
Yes, I agree. I agree with that 100%.
And like y'all
Kaylin, what
said,
about you?
well, the thing about how adults like sometimes look down upon us as youth, I noticed it at school, like you said, Haley, some teachers just like to pick on certain people, and I experienced that a lot when I was younger, and it kind of molded me because I was a people pleaser too. And I didn't really experience it as much from adults when I was not doing rodeo. And then when I started doing rodeo and I started putting myself out there more and everything, it seems like the more you put yourself out there, the more backlash you're gonna face. And you just have to realize that people are going to talk about you. Like, they're going to, if they see a youth succeeding and you're doing good, they're going to have something to say. But use that as fuel to like push yourself forward and make your dreams come true through that.
Yes, I love that. I'm a big, and my family is a big advocate on spinning negative into positive. Like with my dad, being struck by lightning, we could have just said, well, that's it. Okay. He's lost his memory. He'll never relearn how to read and rewrite. We'll just whatever. But we like to take all of those experiences and spin that negative for a positive. because that could affect and help somebody. And I feel like within the Western industry, that whenever a cowboy gets injured, they just grit it up, tough it out, get back on the horse, and they ride with it. And so it was difficult for my dad to discuss all of his injuries. I mean, he's broken over 50 bones, and I don't even want to think about how many concussions that man has had. But whenever he started his podcast and doing these things, he didn't want to share these stories. It started with him, I don't know if he shared, but he started speaking at the college university, and the kids started asking questions like, have you ever been injured? Have you ever failed? And for the first time, he kind of peeled off those layers and started being transparent and sharing about those experiences. Like, well, I got struck by lightning, I've broken these bones, I failed in this business endeavor. And those kids have never heard that level of transparency, and they were crying. And that's whenever we decided we need to do something with this. So I would record videos of dad as he started sharing his testimony, or he would interview other people and they would start kind of being transparent and sharing. And I'd edit it on iMovie and we'd post it on YouTube. And that's kind of how we got started. And so we've kind of turned our whole brand into spinning that negative for positive. So with my experience, it's of course different than my dad's. So different, arrows that have been thrown at me, like being picked on for being young or, whatever. I like to say, okay, well, how can we use this to encourage other people? So it's sharing, like y'all too. I mean, it's just incredible. I was so excited whenever I found out about Rodeo Kids because it's that youth standing up. So with this platform, I mean, we can help other kids out there that may be feeling the same thing but feel like they can't talk about it. So I think that what y'all do here is just such an incredible thing because it gives that youth that empowerment and that they may need. So this is just incredible. I'm so grateful for y'all.
Yeah, one
Thank
of the
you.
things that comes to mind to me as you guys talk about, your experience with some of these adults and stuff is more so of the quote is walk beside me, not behind me. You know, you
That's
want
good.
them to walk, they want you want them to have you beside them. Take me, show me these experiences. Let me be a part. Let me sit in. Let me show me how to be what you're being as an adult. I just did a podcast about my mom. And one of my favorite things about my parents is that they have always taken me along with them. They treated me like an adult instead of like a child. You know, they taught me how to do things, like you're saying with your dad, when my mom used to have a Cajun festival in Iowa. And, I was like her little sidekick. I was the assistant. I was the person because I was with her day in and day out at home. I could answer the questions. And, I was in that position similar to you, Haley, where when I was around a bunch of adults, they had to come to me and ask me questions. And you
Yes,
do get
sir.
looked down on upon from time to time. And I think a lot of it's because adults are surprised. There's definitely that. But what, as I was saying, I think the one thing that I'm really taking away from this is just your guys, I'm not going to say like necessarily a cry, but just your desire to have to be able to walk beside adults and not be put behind them or beneath them or below them.
Yes, ma'am. I love that quote that you said. I'm gonna have to go write that down. I think that is incredible, and I love that. And I think that this is maybe the thing that needs to be out there to hopefully maybe spark that, little something within. Because of course, it's not all adults, and I don't want to say that I'm an adult hater. I love adults, but it's very true. You want to not be looked down on just based off of, I mean, really anything, but based off of age. I mean, it'll catch you. So I love what you said.
And with that, what is one thing that's kept you like positive and motivated to like keep going for your acting and everything, even with people putting you down? What is one thing that's kept you motivated for that?
Well, I love that you asked that. So, of course, the acting industry is it's a difficult one. It's very difficult to try to jump. It's like a moving train, and you got to jump into that box at the perfect time because it's all about who you know when you meet them. It's more difficult than just having to audition for something. I mean, it's very difficult to get into. So whenever I was young, I like I said, I always knew what I wanted to do. And so even in elementary school on career day, like what you do a presentation about the career that you want to have. And I said, I want to be an actress in movies. And every single teacher was like, are we sure about that? I mean, I don't think that's a really tangible career. Like, and then as I continued growing up, I still got that feedback. Everybody, and I love waitresses, but they would always go, so you're going to be a waitress whenever you get older, because that's, you're not going to get too far with that. Okay, what's your backup plan? What are you going to, and I would just say, no, I know it. And I always say that God told me since I was a little girl what I was going to do. I mean, it's always just been a calling on my heart, and I knew it. And I knew it, and I was setting it. And I'm so grateful to have my parents and my family, like I said, that supported me, because also, you know, being a sixth generation cowgirl, it was very out of pocket for me to want to jump into the entertainment industry, because, you know, I mean, my grandfather, you know, worked with rodeo horses and race horses and champion team roper. And then my dad, of course, and then my cousins do that. And I go, I'm an actor. And they were all like, you know, we love you for that. That's great. Let's do it. And of course, yes, I still ranch and pleasure ride and work the cattle at the house. But it was just, I knew what I wanted to do. So I never thought that I'd see a day wherever the entertainment industry and the Western industry would kind of hold hands and cross paths in my life. But with what's happening right now, I'm seeing that play out. I mean, with my dad, I never thought that he would be over here speaking and having a show alongside me. And so it really is just incredible. So I would have to say, just know what you want, know who you are, and stand by that. And I know with all those people, whoever it might be, trying to tear you down and hold you back, and I know that weighs on a person. And I had days that I'd wake up and say, well, should I really do this? I mean, this is crazy. There's no way I could be an actor and make a living out of it. I think just really holding on to who you are and finding people around you that will support you and uplift you, really honing your craft, staying in tune with it, keep doing what you love, make connections is the number one thing that I will say. Meet people within that industry. I would go work on sets, and I could be like a whatever, taping the lights up in the back. But while you're there, you can network and talk to different people on set, learn what happens, learn who the person is taking the video. Because if you learn how you'll look on the video, you learn how to better act in front of it. But that really applies to any industry. I mean, meet people within that circle, learn all the things you can learn, shake as many hands as you can, and just run from there. So that's what I'd have to say. It's been a long process to get here, but I'd say just know who you are and stick with it.
That's awesome. I like how you're bringing like acting and rodeo into like, or Western life into one thing. And I think it's pretty cool how you can like open the industry. And I feel like it can open some people's eyes to like new ideas, and it can open their eyes to like the everyday life of us, like people like us, rodeo and everything. My question was, how did growing up on a ranch like help you with your acting? Like, just did it help you like grow with your personality, like grow with your confidence or something, or anything like that?
Okay, I know this is going to sound so bad, but I feel like it helped with my kind of imagination in a way, because I, you know, being an only child, you know, I didn't have other siblings to play with, which I loved. I loved being an only child, but I would go down to the barn and I would play pretend with the horses. So my horses would do acting scenes with me, or I'd go down there and play my guitar for them. And I'm like, oh, I know y'all love this. And so I'd be laying down in the pasture or imprinting the little baby horses. And so to an extent, I still live on the same ranch that I've been, you know, basically born on. I mean, ever since my parents found out they were pregnant with me, my dad says, we got to raise this girl right on a ranch. And so they bought this property out here in Fredericksburg. I've lived here my whole life, and I have just absolutely loved it. And not only just living on the property, you know, and getting to play with the horses and do the thing, but also being born into the industry, being sixth generation, is so important to me, because I feel like I was born into this already big family. Because yes, I have my family, but then also I can walk into a rodeo arena or do something there, and I will see people, oh yeah, I know your grandpa, or I know your great grandpa, we did this together. So it's honestly such a humbling honor to just be blessed with being in this industry. And that's not to say that somebody being first generation cowboy can't jump into it, but it's almost like it's an honor. It really is, to have such an incredible Western family surrounding me. And so I think of that every day, and I'm just truly honored to be a part of it. And I just take that honored feeling. And so now within the industry, I'm cast in, I think it's two or three movies coming up. And so one of them I'll get to play a barrel racer in, which is so neat because I've always wanted to do barrel racing. I've had four knee surgeries, so I think my leg would pop off. But I've always wanted to do that or get involved with rodeo. And so now I get to portray that on film. So it's something I've always wanted to do, but I get to play it on film or a few other ones after that. So now it's so neat because I'm getting to kind of live out my rodeo Western fantasies of another life that I wanted to live, but doing what I ultimately wanted to do in life. So the worlds are colliding in a beautiful way. And I'm just so grateful for it.
What is one of the most like memorable things like from your career that you've done? Like, I know you've done multiple different things like acting, singing and all that. What is one of the most memorable things that you have?
Oh man, that's a difficult one. I would think that whenever I was young, it was my very first dance recital. And I think I was probably, I just turned three or I was at the end of the age of two. And I vividly remember this. And this is one of my very first memories. And I was on stage and I still have a video of this on either like a cassette or a CD somewhere, but I was just laughing my little heart out on stage and I was just giggling and I was doing all the steps, but I was just belly laughing up on that stage. And so whenever the dance was over, you know, of course we were supposed to exit and I just stayed on stage and just kept bowing. I was just soaking it up. I'm like, this is it. This is, I love this. And my dance teacher who I now teach with at our studio, she picked me up and had to take me off stage. And that was, like I said, the moment wherever I felt that spark, because I remember seeing the audience's faces just smiling and lighting up. And I loved that I was in a position wherever I can make somebody smile. Like if they're having a bad day and I can go on stage and make them smile, I would love that. Like growing up doing live theater, I know you're not supposed to look at the audience and not break the fourth wall, but I'd find one person that would just look angry. And my goal by the end of the show is to make them laugh or smile or just do something. And I kind of take that even off the stage, even if I'm just an HEB, I want to make people smile and be happy and kind of just bring a positive light. Cause you don't know what's going on behind closed doors. So I think that, I would have to say that that moment will just always be a deep part in my heart. Cause that's wherever I decided this is it.
I really love that you're saying like how you're identifying and you mentioned before that you like to observe, you're an observer. And that's one thing that I think the world as a whole is missing in observing what other people are doing and what they're feeling. And I think Isaiah was there. We did a challenge or a question deal at one of our Zoom meetings with the Rodeo Kids ambassadors. And I had asked them beforehand to think of three people and why they were thinking of them. And so they came and they, you know, said, okay, here's my three people and this is why I'm thinking about them. I said, okay, now who are three people that you're not thinking about? Who are three people in your environment that are sitting back, who have retreated, who aren't as happy? Like people that you see at the rodeo or in your daily lives that maybe used to be bold and out there and now you don't recognize them, you know, because most of the people that we recognize, you know, the kids that they were naming were people that are doing well, people that are more, have a bigger personality, you know, more confident. But it's when we find those people that aren't, that are having a bad day, that we maybe don't know why, or that have retreated and who are not hanging out with their friends anymore, or who are hanging out at the trailer all the time, that there's something going on. And as humans and just humanity in general, if we make an effort to, like you said, pick those people out and not single them out of, you know, because you're different, but because I care about you and I want to see you smile. Just think how much better the world would be if we all took that approach to caring about each other.
I just want to like hear you talk and just write down everything that you say, because it should all be like, everything that you say. I'm like just eating it up. But I agree with that. I think that in elementary school, you know, the teachers would always say, if you see the person sitting by themselves, maybe go sit with them and go talk with them. Or I vividly remember hearing that one story. I'm horrible and I don't remember who it's by, but it's just kind of one of those stories that you're told. And it's that little girl or the boy on the beach, and there's all the starfish, and he's throwing back the starfish into the water. And then this old man approaches and it's like, why are you throwing back the starfish? There's way too many that you could help them all. And then the little boy is like, if I can help just one, I'm doing my job. And so every day since hearing that in elementary school, I've thought about that. And if I can help one person every day, that's one more person that's getting helped. And it's just something I've stood by. And then also something that we were kind of talking about, you know, the Western industry and the acting and relating the two. So a lot of people, you know, they say that there's no small parts. And I agree with that because it's a very self-centered industry. It's very, oh, it's me. I'm the star. Take my picture. And I hate that. It's just so uncomfortable for me because I don't want to be perceived as, oh, it's me. It's me. And my dad hates that. I mean, every picture of him before this whole podcast endeavor, he was the most camera shy man. Every picture is like this, even Christmas cards. I'm like, oh, okay. But I think that this industry, you know, we're very humble, and the Western industry is a very humble, kind industry. And so kind of taking that element into the film industry and kind of leading with that servant leadership is very important to me. Because even if I am a lead role, I don't like to walk in all, because then you're everybody else in the cast is not going to like you very much. And so whenever you're supposed to have this transparent, loving relationship for your lead role in the film, let's say, you know, your cast is not going to, it's not going to be a genuine relationship there. I like to approach all the crew members, all the cast members, everybody, and just shake their hand, talk with them, make a personal connection. That's a big deal to me. It's just making it a loving, happy set and community. And I've also heard that sometimes, you know, it's the community. The community is a big part. And I know that that's one of y'all thing. I was looking at y'all's website, and community is a big thing to y'all as well. But, you know, within the Western industry, you know, you have your, let's say your barrel racer. She's going out running the barrels. And it's like, oh, yes, it can't just be you. I mean, you got to have the people that till out there on the tractor. And then you got to have the people that are keeping your horse clean. You got to have your saddle makers. I mean, there's so many people. You may just see one person, but there's so many people that are there and supporting and holding them up. So I think that community aspect and helping everybody and leading with positivity and a smile, that is so important on my heart.
Well, and on that note, I think, you know, just you can't be a leader without followers. You can't be on the top of the leaderboard without other competitors. You can't be at the top of the 1D without people in the 4D. I mean, it takes everybody from the producers to the secretaries, to the, you know, just what you're saying. It takes everywhere. It takes everybody. And I love the no small parts because we all do play our part and we all have to be those people in order for this industry, for the world to continue. And one thing that I've been thinking about a lot lately is how in every community you have people, you know, we've been talking a lot about our fire department lately. And in every community, there are people who play that role, who make the fires go out. There's bankers, there's farmers, there's grocery store people, you know, there are just roles that people play. And those are important roles in life. And it's not, you're not better or worse or bigger or smaller or anything, because it's all an important role, no matter where you're at, no matter what you're doing. If that's your calling that God put on your heart, it's important.
Yes. Oh, I love that. I really do. Yes, ma'am.
Sorry. What you said, about, like, there's no small parts and everything. Just like Camry said, that I don't like that either. It's kind of, I feel like it's just, it's a way that puts some people down, and you can't recognize some people because, like, even the people who are behind the scenes, like, I think at the pro rodeos and everything, you've never heard who's driving the tractor. You've never heard who's setting barrels. Like, even at the end of the bar and stuff like that, like, you don't know. And they're a big part of how everything happens. And
yes.
Thing goes on, and if it wasn't for them, there would be no rodeo. So I just think that's pretty cool that that got brought up.
Yeah, I love that.
The next question, I think, what were, like, some of the people who helped you focus on your dreams and guide you in a path, like, if you were getting off of track, like, hey, you're getting off track, like, who were some people who helped you?
Well, I know I bring up my parents a lot, but I do love them a lot. They were a big influence. And honestly, I mean, this industry, you know, is so up and down and up and down. And so there's still times wherever I will feel very down. And I'm like, is this is this, did I hear God correctly? Is this actually going to work out? And they are there to support and hold me up and say, Haley, yes. And then sometimes my dad will have a bad day. He's like, should I be doing this? And I'm there. Yes. I mean, there's a reason why you got struck by lightning. I mean, that doesn't just happen. And my mom will get down, and she's our big supporter. She is there for both dad and I, and she's one of those that she's more behind the scenes. She doesn't like to be in front of the camera. And so that's why I always say that there's no small parts as well. It's kind of circling back to that, because she is a lot of the time behind the camera, but she is the one that's holding us up. And that, and then also a lot of my coaches and mentors. One of them is Steve Riley. He is now working with us with kind of more of our podcast and things like that. But he was the executive producer at that theater that I was at for so long. And he's been one of my biggest role models in my life. He coached me and trained me up since I was little on everything in the acting industry, different acting methods, different history behind it, and helped me kind of really shape me into the actor and person that I am today. He's a big one. And my dance instructor, of course, that I've been with since I was two, Miss Rhonda. She is just the most incredible lady. I'm going to go see her actually after this, because like I said, I teach with her whenever I'm home. I love her because I love helping the youth, kind of like what we were talking about. And so I teach ages like 2 to probably like 10-ish. I teach with her. And it is very loud in an environment with lots of 2-year-olds with tap shoes on. But I always say, you know what? I was one of those 2-year-olds with the little tap shoes on stomping around. And so I like to help and encourage them. So I would have to say the big influencers, role models of my life, those are my few right there. They're incredible. And then also something I kind of want to talk about too is kind of everybody walks their own path. Like what we're talking about, everybody has their own thing. So for me, my senior year, I kind of, for some reason, I just always knew that it was going to be that year wherever everything was going to start falling into place. So I was at that point wherever I was starting to send off college things. And I was sitting there like, okay, am I going to have to wait, go through college, then eventually get noticed? Do I start auditioning now? I kind of felt this weighing on my heart. Like, I don't know what to do. So I went to a Christian film festival. And it was one of my very first film festival that I've gone to. And I was really kind of guarded walking in. I said, everybody's going to hate me. They're going to be mean. I've heard things about this industry. And I walked in and everybody was so nice and welcoming and helping and guiding me. And so I met this one lady. Her name is Miss Holly McClure. And so then she has an entertainment media company. So she took a chance on me and sent me out to a red carpet in Nashville with the Wing Feather Saga with Angel Studios. I've never interviewed people before. Like, it was a scary deal. I mean, I've been interviewed, and of course I'm a yapper, as y'all could tell, but it was scary walking in and having to interview people. So my very first interview was Jodie Benson, who she voiced Ariel in The Little Mermaid, like the original one. And so she was being a voice actor in this film. And I was like, okay, so I'm going to have to interview Ariel. Like, how do I do that? And my next one was the CEOs of Angel Studio. And that's two completely different interviews because, like I said, I'm an observer. I kind of soak things in. And then also going to meetings with my dad, it kind of helped prep me for how to talk to like such influential big CEOs who founded this whole army of a studio. And of course, now they're in the media a lot. They're breaking records. They broke Disney's record. They were on top of the box office there. And I was a little bit nervous. And so it was that. And I was still, like I said, weighing, should I go to college or should I not at that point? And Jodie Benson, actually, this is another kind of high in my career. As I was walking out, because you only got a certain amount of time in there, you had to end the interview and I left. She called me back and she's like, sweetie, how old are you? And at the time I was 18. So I'm like, I'm 18. And she's like, are you missing school to be here? And I'm like, yes, ma'am. And she's like, I just want to hear why are you here? I'm just so confused. And that was another situation. Everybody there was an adult. I was the absolute youngest person there besides like the younger people in the cast, like all of the other people interviewing, the youngest one. Everybody was so confused. They just saw this little blonde just sitting over there with a microphone looking kind of scared. And she says, like, just tell me your whole thing. So I told her how I was kind of struggling with whether I wanted to go to college or not. She said, sweetie, if you're here and you're making these connections, you don't need to go to college necessarily for what you're wanting to do. And I just was, I said, you know, if Ariel told me not to go to college, I don't think I should go. And so then I kind of then decided that I'm just going to grab the bull by the horns and just jump in this industry and just try to do what I can. And so with that, we got blessed. I mean, we have the movie about our family that's going to come out. There's talks of a TV show that it's kind of hushed right now. And then Dad and I are actually going to start our own podcast about kind of raising a family and about, you know, empowering the youth and things like that. That's in the works. And then I started to get cast in films without even auditioning. I had people call me and they're like, God's telling me that you need to be cast as a lead in this film. I've never seen you act, but here, are you interested? Well, yeah. So with that, it's a lot of highs and a lot of, you know, I made the right decision. But then kind of back to the people trying to bring me down whenever, specifically more of the adults that ask me, well, what do you do? I explain the whole spiel, like what I said, because I feel like I need to say everything, because a lot of the time the reaction is, I don't really think, so no college? I don't think that's a smart idea. Like, you're not going to make it. Like, you may have 5 seconds of fame, but you're not going to make it. It's just not going to work for you. So then I start feeling really down, kind of what we were talking about. Like, did I make the right decision? And so I think that it's really important to recognize that, yes, if you're going to be a doctor, please go to college. I don't want you ripping out my guts if you don't know what you're doing. But I think that it's really important to acknowledge that everybody kind of has their own certain paths in life. Like, yes, I think that education is very important. But then also, I feel like it would kind of almost pull me back if I were to go to a 4-year college, because I would have had to turn down all these different opportunities. Like, yes, I still take online courses to freshen up my acting methods and things like that. But it is so refreshing just to hear somebody go, wow, that's amazing what you're doing. I hope the best for you. Because it's always something negative. And it's kind of goes back to that adults kind of, you know, sometimes degrading kids and their decisions. That's been one of the biggest things recently, is kind of almost doubting that I'm making the right decision because of adults saying that it's not correct what I'm doing. So I wanted to share that too, that everybody's kind of walking their own walk in life. And so I think that that's something that's kind of important to acknowledge. So.
Oh yeah. And how you said, like, everyone has their own path and everything, I think that's really important, because especially in like the youth rodeo world, everyone is comparing themselves to other people. And most of the time, the people you're comparing yourself to have either been rodeoing longer than you, or they're just older and they have more experience than you. And I feel like that's one of the main problems, that people are comparing themselves to other people, and that everyone has their own walk, and you don't have to be like everyone else. You can be your own person, and it's not going to kill you to like not finish your education in college right now. Mm-hmm. Like, find what you want to do and make it your goal to make it happen. And I really respect that about you, how you had your goal and you followed it and you didn't give up.
Yeah, well, thank you. I think that what you said is so important. Yes, never compare yourself to somebody else, because that's not working too well. It's like a dog chasing his own tail. You're just going to keep going in circles, and you're not going to keep going forward in a straight line.
Yeah, I think, you know, as you talk about college, I went to college. I use my college degree every day. I have a college degree in communications and marketing. So I definitely used it. My husband went to college for 1 month and decided it wasn't for him. My dad didn't go to college at all. Like most of the men on my dad's side of the family did not go to college. They're all successful. They're all doing their own thing with hands-on trade type jobs. And like I said, very successful. And, you know, at Rodeo Kids, I'm a big advocate for, if you need an education, if you need that kind of structure and that kind of support, by all means, I think it's important to have continuing education, whether it's acting classes, whether it's college, whether it's trade school, whether it's an internship, whether it's a job where you have a really good mentor. Having continuing education is critical no matter what level you're at. When you're out of college, it's important to have continuing education. Otherwise, you get stuck. So yes, that's for adults and for kids and for everybody. But I 100% agree that college is not for everybody. And I think we're in a big transition in the world in seeing that, you know, for a long time, college was pushed so much because people couldn't afford to do it. It was a really big deal to have that education. And it was really important for more people to gain that kind of education because we had an influx of hands-on workers and not enough people who had the critical thinking skills or the specific skills for other types of jobs. But we don't live in that world anymore. We live in a world where there's too many college degrees and not enough people who know how to get dirty and get down in the ditches and use a shovel. So I 100% definitely agree with what you're saying there. And when it comes to comparing, you know, God made every single one of us different. We all have our own journey and our own purpose. And it doesn't matter if you're at the very top, you can always, always, always find somebody to compare yourself to. You know, whether you're just getting started or you've been at this for years and years and years, if you want to look for somebody to compare yourself to, you will. Like it, that never ends. But learning to love yourself, compete against yourself, and trust the process that God has intended for you and look for those opportunities, like we said earlier, to bring people up and bring people along and focus on the process. We talk about that a lot right now at Rodeo Kids, focusing on the process and your progress instead of on your outcome. And focusing on what you can do to make a difference in the other 23 hours and 30 minutes of the day that you're not competing, that's what makes it all worth it when you do win, when you do get the worldly prize, when you do reach the top. You know, that's what it's all about at the end. And when we learn how to retrain our brains, which society doesn't want us to do that. Society and culture wants us to be competitive. Because if we keep competing, then they can manipulate and control and do all those kinds of things. But if we focus on God's purpose for us, then they can't control us because God's in control.
Yes, I love that. I always say that the only, you know, person you should be, I guess not person, but you should just compare yourself to Jesus. Cause that's a good one to compare yourself to. Always try to be like Jesus. But, you know, if you look to people, and yes, I think it's great to have role models and, find people with goals that you kind of align with. But if you're just looking at a person and you're just fully wanting to be them, we're all people and we all are going to mess up. We're all going to mess up. And so if you're just full on banking on a person, they're going to mess up at some point, and it's not going to work out too well for you. So I really resonate with what you said there. And I do think that, yes, we should continue to keep learning every day in our lives. I always just try to learn something new and surround myself with people that have either been in the industry for a long time and just kind of soak up their wisdom. Cause, you know, I'm a very observant person, but I felt like while I was in school, and especially, you know, senior year was kind of it's a blow off year for me. Whenever I was on a set, I would learn so much. I mean, it was absolutely incredible. And then whenever I was in school, it was like nothing. So then, I was like, okay, I'm learning so much on this set. And so now that I'm kind of out of school, I just feel like that I've learned so much, not only about acting, but I mean, just about everything. And I'm such a nerd for like learning things about the acting industry. And so just kind of diving into those books. So I feel like every day trying to learn something new about something is very important. Yes, ma'am. I agree with that.
And what advice would you give someone like a younger person, youth, who they want to like act, they want to combine like the Western industry and acting like you did? What would be your advice to them to like keep going?
Well, I would say to surround yourself with people that are going to uplift and encourage you. Don't surround yourself with negativity, because that's just going to do horrible things to just every part of you. Your mental health is just going to bring you down. So be around people that are going to lift you up out of the ditch, not pull you down deeper. And also, for just in terms of trying to get into the industry, like I touched on, just networking is key. And that's not only for the acting industry, that's really for everything. Just go meet people within that industry that you're wanting to jump into and shake hands, firm eye contact, and hold your shoulders high, even if you're not feeling too confident there. Meet as many people as you can, soak in every single thing that they say. I kept a little journal on every set that I worked on and just kind of soaked in everything, just really heavily observed. So I feel like kind of bringing that aspect of kind of humility into your workplace there. And if you're wanting to move up higher, that's really important. And you know, just really know who you are, because a lot of the time within this industry, it's you lose your morals sometimes. So you got to just really know who you are, stick to that, dive into that Bible. I mean, it's a dark world, it's a dark place. So just really feel confident who you are, know yourself, fuel yourself with positivity, and just have a smile on your face and just keep rolling with it.
I'd like to add to that too. That's a really good question, Kaylin. But as you're talking about being observant and getting to know people and networking, the one thing that I've noticed is that you've never said, like, look up people on social media and, you know, send people messages on Facebook and Instagram and all that kind of stuff. Not that you can't start connections there, but your handshake, your presence, your voice, your being with somebody will last so much longer in person than what it does if you just send them a message on social media. Yep. So using that as a tool, but, and the other thing is sending thank you letters to those people who
yes.
make an impact in your life, who do something good. If you can send a thank you letter, like there's a young gentleman who was the Rodeo Kids ambassador for a couple years. And he asked me to write a reference letter the other day. And he sent me a thank you card, like every single time. I bet I've received like 10 cards for that kid. And I wrote him a jam up letter because it was like, he's just such a kind soul. And I remember every single time that he's sent one, and I save all of them. And I remember the kids who do, and I remember the kids who don't. And it just makes a difference in how people connect with you.
I definitely agree. While I think that social media and Zoom, like what we're doing right now, it's a beneficial tool for this world because, you know, we're also spread out. It's great to get to talk to people, but I always say that if I could do like an audition, if I had the choice to do it over Zoom or in person, I would always choose in person because a lot of people like the Zoom because they feel like, okay, I can hide, I can retake this. But I like being raw and in person because if you mess up, they can see kind of how you bounce back from that mistake. And also, I have a really, a very, very firm handshake wherever I have hurt people. So I'm learning how to take that back. But I, every single time I notice that if I shake somebody's hand and look them in the eye, they're just taken back or saying yes, ma'am, and yes, sir. They just don't hear that anymore. And it's like burnt into my brain. And that's why also I think the industry has been really helpful because that's just kind of the norm in the Western industry. So taking those aspects into everyday life, it takes people back and they don't see that. And they also don't expect that from youth a lot of the time. And like, you know, going back to being very observant, I always look at everything in a room. So if it's a multiple day event, sometimes on that first day, I'll just kind of not slink around, but I'll be like, okay, what's the color palette? What's everybody wearing here? How do people have their hair? What are they dressing? And then the next day, I'll dress completely opposite of that. And that way you're kind of forced to stand out. It'll force people to look at you. And then that way they'll want to approach you. Or I always make a goal for myself at every event I go to. I look for kind of that top dog in the room or like the person that's owns the company or the person that has lots of connections and is almost unapproachable. And I will make a point at that event to find a way to kind of worm my way up and talk with them and make a connection and walk away with either exchanging business cards or even just, you know, a good conversation. But I make that a point for every single time because I think that not only does it help you because you get to meet that, you know, whoever incredible person, it also is great for a lot of the other people to see you kind of with that person because they'll be like, oh, I kind of want to talk to her. So it's kind of in whatever area you're in, finding kind of how the social cues are working in that room. That's why I just love in person because it's kind of you lose that on social media. You lose your own person on social media and you get to really be yourself and show your personality and what you really bring to the table in person. But social media is a great tool, but it's not my favorite.
I love that. I feel like social media does, like, it is a way that some people use it to show only the good sides of everything going on. Mm-hmm. But I feel like social media should be used to show your ups and downs so people can realize that, hey, everyone has them. Not everyone's perfect. We all have our own challenges. And just because I see this person doing so good on social media doesn't mean that they don't have downs too.
I love that. That's kind of what we've been wanting to do with our movie coming out. We don't want it to be about us. We want it to, I mean, it's about us, but we don't want it to be about us. You know what, if you know what I mean. We want it to focus on kind of the story and help encourage others. We don't want it to glorify us. We're wanting it to first glorify God, but then also have people go, wow, they went through that. And not only did we see them at their lowest point, we saw them kind of get through it. 'Cause a lot of the time, like you said, you only see the highs and positives of people's lives, and especially with social media now, because you kind of have that want and expectation to be perfect and compare yourself to other people. You don't see that gritty, rough time that somebody went to maybe get up to that. A great example, I don't know, y'all, have y'all seen Duck Dynasty? That show, I love Duck Dynasty. We're rewatching it as a family, I think for probably the 10th time. And so they came out with a new movie. It's called The Blind, and it's about Phil and Kay. And I think that that is a perfect example, because I don't know if y'all have seen it, but the movie showed such a raw, real side of the beginning of Phil and Kay's relationship. It showed how Phil had an abusive nature, and he was an alcoholic, and he was really down, and he started turning his back on Christ. Because you see them in the reality show, and they have money, and they're making duck calls, and they're having fun, and they're great. But they wanted to put out that movie to show this is what we went through. We had nothing. We were living out of a trailer in the swamp.
Thank you so much for listening to today's podcast. Before you leave, I want to say a big thank you to all of our sponsors over here at RodeoKids.com. Fastback Ropes, 7K Roping Dummies, Flat Top Cowboy Church, K&D Equestrian, Signature Stall Mats, Rodeo Bible Camps of America, Short Go Children's Books, Jacob Elder Clinics, Mike and Sherry Lynn Johnson, The Epic Animal, Goaty, Performance Pony Company, Wolf & Sons Performance, Rural Health Education, Rodeo University, and Flat Tops, Rodeo Bible Camps. Thank you so much for your support.